This is Pittsburgh Explainer from 90.5 WESA. It's Friday, June 19th. Thanks for joining us. I'm producer Katie Blackley. Liz Reed is off this week. Millions of Americans work outside, in agriculture, construction, and many other professions. This week, we revisit a story from our series, Still Working, produced by Margaret J. Krause and Kevin C. Brown, about how work shapes who we are and how we see the world.
I've broken a couple bones. I got hit by a pitch. I broke my arm. I got hit by a pitch. I broke my thumb. I broke my hand just taking a swing. And last year, I had a crazy one. I had a collision, and I ruptured my spleen. My name is Jonathan Schwinn. I'm 26 years old, and I am a minor league baseball player.
My first alarm goes off at 4:30. I'm not going to lie. I probably don't get out of bed till 5. And you come out, you put the cows in, milk the cows. My name is Paige Friedline, and I am everything at Wanadale Farms, I guess. But I think my dad calls me the herd manager.
Sometimes I go to a grocery store and I just want to scream no running to kids. Probably say it over 100 times a day. My name's Alexis Turner. I am the head guard here at Phillips Bowl in the city of Pittsburgh. And I work outside every single day.
Hello, I'm Margaret J. Krause.
And I'm Kevin C. Brown. And you're listening to Still Working.
From 90.5 WESA.
We hear a lot about work. But lots of these conversations miss something. How people feel about the work they have or don't.
And what it means to them or doesn't. I'm a reporter.
And I'm a historian. And we started asking Pennsylvanians those questions.
This series is the result, inspired by a cigar-chomping giant of Chicago radio, Studs Terkel.
Back in the 1970s, Terkel wrote a nearly 600-page book called Working, focused entirely on people and their jobs.
The subtitle is What People Do All Day and How They Feel About What They Do. That's exactly what we wanted to know, for our time and in our region.
Our aim is to make room for people to tell their own stories.
But of course, we're still making choices. Why talk to one person and not another? Which interviews go together? What does it all add up to?
Throughout the first season, we've put voices together when one experience seemed to inform another, and group jobs around different themes.
Today, a baseball player, a lifeguard, and a dairy farmer. Three people who work outside.
Kerr fans, it's time to play ball!
We play 142 games in about 5 months, and we only have about 1 or 2 days off a month. So it's a very strenuous schedule, and if you let it, it'll beat you up and it'll make you negative, because baseball is the biggest self-esteem destroyer there is, because you're failing a lot. I've been playing baseball professionally since 2011. I've been playing baseball in general since I was about 5 years old. If you ask me in college, did I think I was going to get drafted? Not really. I didn't really have an inclination of that. But it happened. It was a blessing, and I'm still playing, and I'm still working hard to hopefully get to the big leagues. Anybody at this level has a chance. You know, when you get to AA, AAA, you're just a call away from the major leagues, and it happens all the time. Guys get called up. There's people, you know, that have heard how long you're going to play, and because, you know, ultimately you're not in the major leagues yet, and that's reality. I understand that. It's just like any other job. You know, if something's not working out, people are going to sway you to something different because people don't like to experience, you know, difficulty and failure and some adversity. But that's part of every job, and that's part of life. So you surround yourself with people that are positive and supportive of your goal, and I think it keeps your mind set to what you need to actually do.
So my nickname at my job is Dos. I have two X's in my name, and I'm actually Hispanic, so the name Dos, or the word Dos in Spanish, is two. My head guard gave that to me originally my first year, and it's stuck for 8 years now, all throughout the city. Whenever people say that you're a lifeguard, no, you just get a tan, I get a little defensive sometimes. I start throwing out my work list of what I do on the daily. I have people's lives in my hands all day long. We have a pretty big staff here. We have about 8 guards. They guard the pool. They help teach lessons, clean, keep up the facility. As the head guard, it is my job to kind of work with them and get them to be motivated throughout the day.
Yeah. No, good one, stay here, what happened?
There's like little pieces of it, and there's that, and they said it looks like it. I had them look at their goggles. I'm like, yeah, let's get, because there's like little pieces. There's like little pieces all over the place, and there's another piece over there.
What a great day. All right, guys. Okay, guys, time to get out. We had a fecal incident.
Actually, I worked away from here for 5 years, and then I came back. My grandfather had some sort of surgery, and it wasn't a knee surgery. I was still here for that. So there was some sort of surgery. I'm going to say maybe that was when he had his stomach ulcer. I don't know. Anyway, my grandpa was out for a while, and they needed more help, so I came back. And now I'm here, still here. There are days that this is a hard job. And there are days that this is not the worst job in the world. And there are days that I'd rather be anywhere but here. You have days when you lose a cow, or a cow goes down, or a calf dies. And those are the days you don't really want to be here, or a tractor breaks when you really need that tractor. And then there are days where there's a lot of physical labor in the hot sun, which is, you know, not a terrible day, but it's a long day and a hard day. And then there are days where it's not so bad. Now I have to go down here and chase cows around. I am currently tying them all in their stalls so they can't leave while we're trying to milk them. We milk from that end of the barn to this end of the barn. Average cow makes about 8 gallons of milk a day. And then there's better ones and some that are not as good. We get $14 a hundredweight and 100 pounds of pints a pound, so we get paid roughly $1 something a gallon, and you guys are paying for 4. So somewhere somebody's making a lot of money. That middleman is making a lot of money. And it's not me. Hold on. That's my vet. Hold on 1 second. Hello. Hi, Bill. How are you? I'm good. Yeah. And then I have one, and I wasn't sure how I wanted to do it. I think I'm gonna IVF her, so I'm thinking I'm gonna get her bred first, and then we'll IVF her. So I wasn't sure what your schedule was with that. The cow that I'm concerned about is, she was supposed to be bred, 7 months pregnant. She lost a calf, so I don't just want to sell this cow because she didn't have a calf, so I'm trying my next step to get offspring out of her and hopefully get her back on track to be in the milking herd again. But look at her, she's so happy with her life. She doesn't have to do a thing. No baby, no milk, just exist. That was my foot.
I was actually the first woman in my family to graduate from college. So my mom was absolutely a extremely hardworking woman. She was the head of the household. She did everything. She raised 2 kids of her own. I was kind of trained to have that hard work ethic. I would say getting a career would be something I would worry about. Nowadays you have to pretty much go to college and get a degree to get a really decent paying job, a high paying job. But I looked at lifeguarding initially as just a few years of a part-time job, and now I'm going on 8 years, and it helps me to get to that goal of a career. It's definitely changed how I've looked at people. I know a lot of times growing up, kids see other kids, and it's hard to understand differences that people have. I feel that I have grown as a person working with all these different types of people.
I look at them and I don't really see a cow. I see personality, an individual. But I think any farmer will tell you that we actually care about our cows. They're really our livelihood, our lives, our income. They're more to us than just cows. In 10 years, I would probably say that yes, I will still be here. I'd like to say no, but probably. Unless the whole ship sinks. It's hard to think about doing something different because this is what my family has always done and I was born and raised this way. And it's not that I mean, I probably would miss it. Like, right now I say I wouldn't miss it, but I probably would miss it. But I can't imagine not caring about something else. Like, I don't know what it would be like to have a 9-to-5 and go home and not care about something. I'd like to travel. I feel like when you're here, this is very, this job, this industry is very tying down. Like, you can't just up and leave for a week. It's not like just watch my dog or, you know, feed my cat or have the neighbor come and check the plants. It's like you have 56 girls here that are depending on you to wait on them hand and foot, and you can't just up and leave, so.
Now the next starting lineup for your Altoona Curve. Leading off, shortstop, number 19, Kevin Newman. Batting second base.
We bus everywhere in the lower levels of the minor leagues. And there's some long trips. You know, we go to Portland, Maine, which is, I think, over 10 hours maybe. And that 10 hours could be after a game that you had at home at 6 o'clock at night. So the road can definitely be grueling at times and trips can be long, but you know what, at the same time, it's also allowed me to, you know, embrace life. You know, you're seeing different towns, you're seeing different cities. My off season is definitely a time to rest and time to spend with my family. Spend time with my wife and try to make up for all the time that I'm not there and I'm not able to see her. My wife's a nurse. I wake up when she goes to work. We have breakfast together. It's kind of, you know, something that she's done so much stuff for me and she's provided for me for a long time. So that's my focus in the off season is just to kind of make sure I'm showing my wife how much I appreciate her. So. The one sound that I always, and I love it, and I hear it a lot, and it's not really on the field as much, it's more like in the dugout or walking down the tunnels. I love the sound of spikes on pavement. I don't know why, there's something about it. It's hard to compare to anything else, really. You know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and they ask you to write down, what do you want to do when you get older?
Batting seventh, right fielder, number 24, Jonathan Schwinn. Batting eighth.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you're getting a new car, don't trade it. Donate it. Rather than head to the dealer, donate that unwanted vehicle to WESA to support NPR in Pittsburgh. Your support is worth more than a low trade-in offer, and it keeps your favorite programming on the air. All of the details are at wesa.fm/cars.
This week marked the 2-year anniversary of the death of Antoine Rose Jr. Rose was 17 years old when he was shot in the back by East Pittsburgh police officer Michael Rossfeld. 8 months later, Rossfeld was found not guilty of homicide, among other charges. Rose's death and the subsequent verdict sparked protests throughout the city. The teenager's name is still chanted at today's demonstrations against police brutality. That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is hosted by Liz Reed and produced by me, Katie Blackley. Larkin Page Jacobs is our managing editor. You can find all of our news coverage at our website, wesa.fm, and of course, on the air at 90.5 FM. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week. We